Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
A good Sunday morning and welcome in 106.7 The Fan with Pete Medhurst. I'm Grant Paulson. We are back in the saddle on the weekend for 3 hours of fun with you. Excited to be hanging out. Pete, what's going on at the Medhurst household today?
Just me, my dog Bella, eating French toast sticks here on a Sunday morning.
Very nice. Does Bella get French toast sticks as well, or is that a Pete-only endeavor?
No, Bella absolutely gets French toast sticks. And if you don't give her one, she nudges her nose under my arm and lifts it up like, hey, give me a French toast stick. Give me a French toast stick. So there are a lot of human characteristics to my dog, which is wonderful. You know, right now she'll go sit down on the first step of the pool all by herself and just chill, like, you know, like she's getting in the pool like everybody else. So there's a lot of things to like about our dog. She's pretty good, and the best part about it is she's an unbelievable security dog. Even if a squirrel is anywhere near our porch outside, we know about it. So that's the best part about what Bella brings to the table.
I got to tell you, man, I love a French toast stick. I would kill for a French toast stick right
Regular
now.
Flavor or cinnamon flavor?
I prefer cinnamon, but I'll take regular. If it's French toast, I eat it. It's one
of
my favorite foods.
I'm a huge French toast guy. There's no question.
And when I'm eating well, you know, which right now I'm trying to grind my way, because early in the quarantine, you know, I ate what I wanted. So I'm trying to kind of just be very disciplined right now and healthy and
sure,
kind of go.
Which is hard to do, by the way, in this time, because you're just sitting in your house looking at food all day.
Yep, and you're bored and you're trying to fill the time and you got nothing else to do but think about what your next meal is going to be. But I do. I love French toast, man. It's one of my favorites. Last weekend, a week ago today, my birthday, I woke up and I ate a huge plate of French toast. It was like the first thing that I did to celebrate my birthday. So I like that. I like that way to start the day for you and Bella. We've got some guests today. You booked a couple of guests for us who I'm excited to talk to. The first of them is Daniel Lust, who's a sports law expert. He's been heard nationally on ESPN and SiriusXM and CBS and Fox. He's found a little bit of a loophole, it sounds like, for the NHL to really want to get their season in. Huh, Pete?
No doubt about it. 12 teams in the National Hockey League have deals with the Fox regional networks. And if, according to the language, if the NHL does not finish its regular season, Fox doesn't owe those teams any money for the 2021 campaign coming up. So there is incentive for the teams to try and possibly finish this regular season unless somehow they can all come to some sort of agreement on the side with Fox that, you know, hey, we're only missing like 10 games, you know. Can we kind of have a wink, wink, nod on this or something like that? Because as we know, unfortunately, you know, here as you go along in the playoffs, you lose your local TV people. You know, I mean, last year there was no Joe B in locker for us for quite a bit of the playoffs. So those regional networks lose all, you know, play-by-play rights. So there's no way for them to make up that money if they don't finish the regular season right now. So it's a big one. It's a big one in terms of the NHL putting together its plan. We saw the players this past week agree to the 24-team playoff setup, but there's a lot more than just that to be agreed to before we get those guys back on the ice.
I'd say that's a borderline deal breaker, you know, if I'm the NHL. That's a must. You have to finish the season. Otherwise, you're financially in a way bigger and worse spot than we thought you might be in, because those teams can't afford to not have those TV deals, presumably. So that is a little bit of a look inside and kind of an opening of the door to peek in as to why the league seems so hell-bent and why I would even say the NBA is on the same level as the NHL, but why some of these leagues feel like they don't want to finish as much as they must finish, and that they're going to try to find a way. So that's coming up in about 25 minutes. Also on the show today, I'm pumped about this. At 11:30, my new, I won't call it an infatuation yet, but a sport that I have given a chance to because it's one of the few things going right now. It might be the only show in town. As you know, I've watched both of the NASCAR races at the highest level over the last week now plus. And I am excited today to watch a third race. I've been looking forward to Charlotte and the 600, which is today. But you booked the driver for us from the Xfinity Series, a level down.
Yeah, Brandon Brown, who lives in Woodbridge. The race team is based in Fredericksburg. And last year, in his first full season, finished in the top 15 in points. And he's got a really solid career going, and I think he's got a great future with the sport. We're going to talk to him as the Xfinity guys will be racing in Charlotte this week as well. We'll get his thoughts on what it was like to just basically sit there and do nothing because they couldn't go practice, they couldn't do anything. And then all of a sudden, boom, at Darlington, which is one of the toughest tracks you can drive, they were back at it this past week, and Brandon finished 13th at Darlington. So we'll get some local flavor as we have a couple of local guys in NASCAR, both Brandon and Timmy Hill, who drives in the Xfinity and the Cup Series. He's from Port Tobacco, Maryland. So those guys are from closer to where you grew up, Grant. You might have seen them probably as you passed by that great go-kart track down there in King George County. At some point in your youth.
So funny that you know about that go-kart track. But, yeah, that was where some of these dudes got their start. So that's pretty fun. A couple things I want to get to early on in the show. I'll table for a moment an amazing idea by a minor league team to open up their ballpark and make it available
awesome on
Airbnb. I mean, for $1,500, you can rent a ballpark for a night, and you can have a bunch of buddies play sandlot ball all night and sleep in the clubhouse. So we can get to that in a few. But speaking of baseball, it is May 24th. We are a year removed from the Nats hitting rock bottom at 19-31, 365 days ago today. Only the Miami Marlins, who had the same number of losses, by the way, but fewer wins, had a worse record in the National League than the Nats today. And this is when everybody wanted Davey Martinez fired, and there was some speculation that the team could blow it up, and there were national writers writing really dumb stories about trading Max Scherzer, and all kinds of wackiness ensued as they were off to a terrible start. But to commemorate that bad start and the 19-31 record, the Nationals scheduled a virtual ring ceremony for today. They released a statement, though, last night, Pete. They're not actually going to be giving out their World Series rings today. The original plan was that players would get them. But as we talked about on Grant and Danny quite a bit, it seemed odd that some players were getting them and others weren't. Britt Giroli, The Athletic, broke a story that players were very much upset. I talked to a couple of guys and kind of took the temperature, and it seemed like at best it was very awkward, and at worst there were angry players reaching out to Mike Rizzo about this to say, hey, what's going on here? And it certainly wasn't Rizzo's idea, in my opinion, to originally do this anyway. But the bottom line is, in the end, the players have decided that if they're not all going to get rings, none of them want rings. And the statement from the Nationals read in part, quote, when team leaders discussed the plan this week with the players collectively decided they would prefer to receive their rings when the team could be physically reunited. We support the decision, end quote. So on the virtual ring ceremony that is still happening tonight at 7 p.m. for fans to watch, instead of actually giving out the rings, which was the plan, they're just going to unveil what the ring looks like. It's going to be an hour long, so I don't know how they're going to fill the rest of the 58 minutes or whatever it is. It's for charity. I think it's a good idea for the Nats to still do something, but players have spoken. They don't want their rings virtually, and they certainly don't want some guys to get them and others not to, which to me was very, very uncomfortable and strange that they were going to do that anyway, and it sounds like that is no longer going to be the case.
Grant, what it shows you is we've talked about and detailed all along, and anybody that has covered the team or been around the team, as you and Danny, myself, have, you know, a lot. Vic, of course, who's running our show this morning. This group is a this group was significantly together. There was a great bond. There was an adhesive for this group. That's why they didn't splinter when things started to go bad last year during the course of the season. And I think this is a reflection of that. As they have often said, we are a group, we are a team, we're a team of 25 plus the other guys that had a chance to perform and help out on the roster this past season. And that's the way they want to go about this as a team in terms of their ring reception. And to be completely honest with you, I'm not surprised that they have stepped up as a group and decided this on their own the way they did.
No, me either. And I think it's the smart thing to do. I mean, look, as much as anything else, not getting a ring, if you were a big part of this team, would have hurt, obviously. But I think you're just putting the guys that would have gotten the rings in a terrible spot. Like, you don't want to be singled out. You think about Ryan Zimmerman, who unequivocally would have been one of those players, and you know, Max Scherzer, who probably would have been one of those guys who I had heard was one of the very vocal leaders kind of talking with leadership in the organization saying, this is not how we should be doing this. Those were the guys you would think that would get the rings. And I don't want to guess as to who wouldn't, but if someone like Adam Eaton or maybe Juan Soto, based on age or seniority, who had as many big swings and big hits as anybody, aren't getting them, it's very, very odd. And it's a great idea to do something for the fans because they would have had more access to these players getting their rings than any fan base ever has. So I'm not going to completely crush the idea to do this. It's also for charity, which makes it hard not to like it, because you're going to raise a lot of money for a really good cause. So there's some very good coming out of this. But the actual presentation of the rings, unless you're able to have everybody that was a part of that club open their ring at the same time, and according to the reporting in The Athletic, they weren't all going to have their rings. They were basically shipping rings to some players and not others. It just wouldn't have gone over very well. But I don't know what would have been worse, to be one of the guys that didn't get a ring or to be one of the guys that did. I mean, you don't want to be given treatment that your peers and your colleagues don't get and then know that they're kind of snipping behind your back about it. That's just as bad and uncomfortable for you as it is for them.
You know, Grant, I look at it this way. You mentioned Max on the leadership count, you know, members of the leadership within that locker room. You know, if there's anything we've learned about those guys is they don't want awkwardness. And I look at it, this fan base has been, if you, obviously you and I are on social media all the time, we follow it. Even the fan base this week brought up some of these things that we're talking about and about how awkward this could be. And you know Ryan Zimmerman, you and Danny have done a ton of interviews with him. You know Ryan wouldn't want to be singled out specifically in a situation like this, more so than anybody else on the team. He doesn't like to, you know, put himself above the club. He's never done that at any time. So I think if the fans were seeing it, the players clearly, as we know now based on what they've done, they felt it. And I'm glad personally that management was receptive to what they were talking about, because sometimes, as you mentioned, because we are raising money for charity, we want people to, you know, we want people to watch, participate, donate, be a part of it. But, you know, Davey Martinez has been so public at all times. We want our fans. They deserve to be a part of this. Mike Rizzo said the same thing. They were a huge part of this. They are part of our organization. We all are as one. And I'm glad in this case, very easily, it sounds like, you know, I don't want to say cooler heads have prevailed, but common sense has prevailed here on behalf of the players. And Grant, we look around sports all the time and we talk about, you know, confrontations between players and ownership. And I don't think there was any confrontation here whatsoever. The players spoke, the owners listened, and that's how they're going to proceed.
Yeah, and you can watch the ceremony this evening, obviously, but there's also a great opportunity here at 106.7 The Fan. Danny and I are going to be getting together tonight on Facebook Live to watch the unveiling of the World Series rings, which is a pretty neat thing. So you can watch us or hang out with us, I guess I should say, on Facebook Live.
Are you going to go, that's pretty?
I think we probably will. That's not going to fill the entire hour, so we're going to have to say some other things, too. But that might come up. That's probably on the to-do list of things to say at different points. So you can watch that on the 106.7 The Fan Facebook page. It's brought to you by Paul Henry's Window Installation. Save 20% on windows and doors during the month of May. PaulHenrysWindows.com. And that all kicks off tonight at 7 p.m. What do you guys think, though? We'll open up the phones at 800-636-1067 about the change in plans here. You're still going to get to see what the ring looks like, but players aren't going to be getting their rings. They're going to be joining this hour-long presentation to talk about the Nats documentary and the World Series run, and that's kind of the only player involvement that you'll see. 800-636-1067 is the number. With Pete Medhurst, I'm Grant Paulson. We are underway on this Sunday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Parental Guidance is live on the air on this Sunday morning. Pete Medhurst, Grant Paulson, 18 minutes after 9. Thanks so much for making the show part of your weekend. It is Memorial Day weekend, although I got to tell you, Pete, I almost need to be reminded of that from time to time. It wasn't until I just realized during the break with the sponsorship for our Memorial Day coverage that that's where we are right now. This is probably the most, the least special, most random Memorial Day weekend ever, because there's not one event on my calendar that I would normally be doing this weekend to kick off summer. Nothing made the list this year. I asked my wife yesterday, I was like, what are we doing Saturday and Sunday? And she goes, maybe we'll take a walk at some point. It's like, oh, that's what we've been doing every single day. Like, that, just the same stuff. I guess we're not working Monday. We could be, because we're just sitting at home anyway. But it is Memorial Day weekend, after all.
It is, no doubt about that. And, you know, as always, as I like to tell people, and my good friend Mike Santmeyer on Facebook eloquently put, if anybody comes running up to you this weekend and says, Happy Memorial Day, that's not quite, Memorial Day is not necessarily the celebratory holiday, so to speak. It's not a holiday. It's about remembering those who kept our freedom, cleared the way for us to not be ruled by others. And, certainly as we look back, and obviously working at the Naval Academy, I work with a ton of people that end up in the service or have retired from the service, been there so long now, that we need to make sure that we remember those who cleared the way, so we can still make some decisions on our own on a daily basis, choose where we want to peruse, who we want to peruse with, and just keep that in mind as we go through this weekend. And you're right, it's usually a gateway to summer. It's a gateway to pools being open and things of that nature that we equate with summertime. But you're right, it is really hard to appreciate the calendar, because there's a lot of things that we normally target, especially in sports, which kind of give you an idea of what time of year it is. And right now, unfortunately, we're not seeing those targets that we normally hit at this time of year.
No, they're gone. I mean, they're nowhere to be found. I mean, Monday is for that for me. You know, that to me, that's what the holiday is. Memorial Day is about commemorating and thinking about those who have made the celebration possible. But I've always kind of thought of the weekend itself, the Saturday and the Sunday lead up, it's the ramping up of summer. To your point, it's not a coincidence. It's when pools open. It's when, you have your big cookout and you invite people over. And ideally, while doing that, you toast to those folks. Monday, when people aren't necessarily as out and about, I've always kind of taken a few moments to do that. But I think there's a synonymous nature of Memorial Day weekend leading up to the actual holiday. I don't do a three-day holiday necessarily, whatever you'd call it. To me, the Saturday and the Sunday are the kicking off of the summer. And then Monday becomes, you know, exactly what you're talking about. I think you said it eloquently. But hopefully people have some plans with their immediate families and are following all the rules and can have a little fun this weekend and make it special so that it doesn't feel like all the weekends before this. And as you said, they commemorate the date correctly and the right way come Monday. The documentary the Nats put together started last night. It's a two-day extravaganza, part one, part two. They'll finish the documentary this evening. I know you haven't yet seen part one, and you'll catch up today. The documentary is called Improbable. And, you know, they came all the way back. A year ago today, they're 19-31, and they win the World Series. So I got to see pretty much the second half of the documentary last night. And I think what Nationals fans will really like is that it's a lot more of your guys. You know, it's all your broadcasters. It's Charlie and Dave, who you hear on The Fan. It's Bob. It's FP. There's some Colco in there. It's interviews with, you know, the Nats people. You see Mark Lerner being interviewed and so many of the folks that you care about. So it's just, it's centered around the Nats. There is no real Astros or Cardinals slant to worry about. I know people were bothered that there was a scene that Carlos Correa was making breakfast with his family in the last documentary, and you didn't get to see Zim making breakfast with his family. So there isn't any of that. It's all Nats. But I will say the part that I saw, at least, one issue that I would take is I want more behind-the-scenes access, and I hope we get that tonight. I want more, like, audio from players around the batting cage and access in the clubhouse that we don't normally get. Like, Major League Baseball, when they put their documentary together, for all of its faults that people didn't like, you know, they had almost nothing but access and stuff we hadn't seen before. Guys getting on and off the buses and talking behind the scenes and hanging out around the cage during beeps. And that's kind of what I crave, more of that clubhouse element with this team. So I'm hoping we get a little bit more of that tonight because, to me, you know, the games themselves, I'll relive highlights until I die. It's amazing. And last night I got super emotional watching those NLCS big swings from Howie and all the great moments from Corbin and company. Great to watch. But I want Hard Knocks, basically. You know, I want players cutting up. I want guys talking not on TV, you know, not around normal cameras. That's kind of what I'm looking for in these documentaries.
I think that's the one thing, and I said this all along. I hope that I said this toward the end of last week, and we found out that this was all coming together is, you know, we, as again, as I said, you know, those of us that cover the team, who are around the team, we know them in a certain way. And you hope that these kind of documentaries kind of verify the things that we try to pass along to the audience. You know, some of the things that, you know, some of the things, quite frankly, that we see but can't say, but maybe captures them, you know, in some of those moments in the locker room, in the dugout, you know, coming off the bus, the, you know, one-on-one discussions that we may not hear around the batting cage when, you know, Davey Martinez walks up to a batter who might be struggling a little bit and just tries, because Davey's an ultra-positive person, and maybe, and, you know, tries to give him a little pick-me-up, you know, hey, just keep doing what you're doing, get in there, you know, swing confidently, all just little stuff that can kind of take people, the fans, inside places that, you know, sometimes we're allowed to go, and certainly getting to do 15 games on the radio with them. I was in places last year I never dreamed in my life I would be, and seeing how the players interacted with fans and family and people that are associated with a club. And those are the kind of things, and I brought up the comparison. I talked about this last week, you know, when Brendan and I were on the air. Spectrum is now available on DirecTV. That is the Dodgers channel out on the West Coast. And almost all the time on this station, it is programming put forth by the same wing that is doing this for the Nationals with the Dodgers. And it's unbelievable content, Grant. It's unbelievable content inside the locker room, on the field, and all this interaction that we're talking about. And this is what you hope that you get because, like I said, we try to explain to the public what we see as best we can see it with what we're allowed to talk about with respect to privacy of the clubhouse and locker rooms and things of that nature. And you just hope this kind of stuff backs it up and verifies it. And if you can't certainly get it when a team wins a world championship, you're never going to get a more festive atmosphere than you'll get with a group that wins the whole thing, especially the way this club did.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to part two tonight. as part of a bigger celebration as we get to see what the World Series rings look like. But as we told you last segment, no players to get those rings this evening. It was all or nothing for those guys, and because not everyone would be getting their rings, they decided they will wait until they are back together in person and can all do it at once. Daniel Lust, he's on Twitter as SportsLawLust. He found a little bit of a wrinkle in the NHL's planning as the league is trying to come back, and he says that if they don't and the season isn't finished, a dozen teams with deals with Fox might not get any money out of their TV deals next year. We're going to ask him about that next. PG, right here on The Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
A good Sunday morning. Welcome back, and thanks much for listening to the show. Pete Medhurst, Grant Paulson with you. We are hanging out until noon right here on 106.7 The Fan. Daniel Lust has been heard all over the place, from ESPN to Fox Sports and CBS. He is an expert when it comes to sports law. You can follow him on Twitter, at SportsLawLust, and he joins us now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Daniel, we really appreciate a couple of minutes. Thanks for hopping on this Sunday. Now, we tracked you down, and Pete wanted to get you on, and I give him a lot of credit because of something that you've been talking about as something that you found in the NHL's plan to return in reference to teams getting money from TV networks. Kind of break that down for us, if you will.
Sure, of course. And first off, thanks for having me on this lovely Sunday morning. Much like you guys and NHL fans across the country, I was very happy to see that this 2014 playoff was in contention. But I did remember a comment that Commissioner Gary Bettman had said a couple weeks back, that to the extent that the season was cut short or the playoffs would cut short, there would be an issue with either local TV partners or national TV partners based on the terms of their contract. So I've been kind of monitoring that. And for those that don't know, basically the way these TV contracts works across the country, there's obviously different regional sports networks that carry games. And when you get to the playoffs, for the most part, they're all national games. The way that these local TV contracts work, some of them, I'll talk about 12 in particular with Fox Sports Network. You have to finish the season in order to avoid penalties for the next season. In particular, there's 12 teams that have this type of deal, Carolina, Columbus, Detroit being a couple of them. To the extent that the season is not finished, the terms of their Fox Sports agreement say that if you don't finish the season, we actually get the next one on the house, and we don't have to give you, the teams, any money at all, and we basically have to broadcast them for free. So that's the little nugget that Bettman was laying, and obviously, you know, this has been publicly reported that there's some terms of this contract, it's called a rollover provision, and the problem, guys, moving forward, everyone I know is worried about this cap, this, you know, $81.5 million cap. It could it go down, right? Is it going to stay flat? You know, we have to worry that if 12 teams lose this giant chunk of revenue, that definitely could adversely affect the cap. So, you know, you do have to keep in mind that everyone wants to jump straight into the playoffs. That's fine. But you're obviously losing some games. And in particular, right, you guys are losing seven teams that aren't going to be playing any more games with a 24-game system. So playoffs are great, but we have to kind of still be mindful of the long-term ramifications.
Daniel, in terms of, I mean, we're talking about, you know, incredible amounts of money at this level. And even though we have played percentage-wise a good portion of the schedule, is there any way or any room, wiggle room for negotiation where, you know, they look at it and say, hey, okay, we've played, you know, 85 or 88% of our schedule. can we just take 12% or whatever off of the number for next year, or is this a hard, fast, on behalf of Fox, we get it free and there's absolutely no wiggle room here and nothing you can do? And if so, is there ramifications so damaging to some of these franchises that we might even see some owners say, okay, I'm going to try and get out and maybe even put their franchise potentially up for sale? Because as you put, TV rights are such a huge piece of revenue to every team, no matter what the sport.
I mean, I've seen probably the same rumblings that you guys have, that just the amount of money the teams are losing across sports. You know, you don't want to say the word bankruptcy, but people are floating it out there. I don't necessarily think that's realistic just because of the way these sports share revenue. But you bring up an interesting point, right? The way that the sport works, our four major sports, revenue is shared generally amongst, the teams based off of revenue sharing plans across. And that's how the cap is affected, by the overall revenue that the league brings in. So you have to keep in mind, right, it's not like the season is being canceled with this new 24-game system. You're having an extended playoffs. You're going to have actually additional playoff games. So, you know, my thought, just kind of looking at a higher level, you are still playing games, right? And Fox, as much as they have their regional networks, Fox is a national network as well. So Fox could put in the, you know, proverbial sand and say they're not budging, but, you know, there's probably a give and take here, right? Fox isn't going to, bite its nose to spite its face and say, you know, they're going to penny pinch here and ruin their long-term relationship with the NHL. So, you know, mind you, that rollover provision at zero cost, some are saying it's not a complete zero cost. Maybe there's a reduction, but Fox isn't going to just put their foot down and not be flexible here. That wouldn't really make sense long-term. And that kind of speaks, you know, to the overall argument between the NHLPA and the league, right? The NHLPA could put their foot down and say, we want our full salaries or else we're not paying, or, you know, we're not playing. But again, there has to be a give and take, because the NHLPA knows that they're going to be going to the table again with the NHL, you know, over years of CBAs. And again, I mean, that's who they play for. That's the league. So there has to be a kind of, coming to grips moment between the three parties, the NHL, the NHLPA, and the various TV networks. Because as much as we're talking about games being taken off the table, right, we're losing some games of the regular season. Again, we're also creating additional playoff games. So when it comes to where those games are going to be aired, maybe that's the way that Fox makes it up.
Daniel Lust is on Twitter. You can check out his account at Sports Law Lust, joining us now on 106.7 The Fan. With the 24-team reboot that we've heard planned, are there Fox-affiliated clubs that get left out in that if the NHL does it that way?
I mean, it remains to be seen. I guess, you know, just to point everything out, Washington is obviously not on the list. We're not worried about that for you guys. But Florida, Tampa, Anaheim, Arizona, Dallas, Los Angeles, Minnesota, Nashville, St. Louis, we're, you know, you have to be a little bit worried if you're those clubs. Just as, you know, per reports, you have to imagine there's some lost revenue that comes to those teams because of this rollover provision. But when it comes to certain teams being left out or not, I think it's just a little too premature to kind of call out any particular teams of what Fox is doing. You know, all you do have to keep in mind is that if the NHL is moving forward, I mean, we haven't heard from Fox any type of official statement from the NHL or otherwise when it comes to Fox, but they're in theory going to be losing money, right, if you just cancel the rest of the season and these regional networks lose games. So you have to imagine that somehow or some way Fox is going to make that up, whether it's, you know, points or some type of advantageous revenue sharing system for next year, or, you know, there's some kind of IOU done down the line for Fox. You know, you have to keep that stuff in mind. Fox, if they did put their foot down, it would make it very hard for the NHL, NHLPA to move forward. But yet again, that would, you know, try to, we'll say that wouldn't paint Fox in the best light when it came to NHL contracts moving forward. So again, we don't know who's going to be left out, what the long-term effects are, but just another piece of this puzzle to keep in mind. The playoffs aren't, you know, they're approved to the extent that the NHLPA is allowing a formal, you know, negotiation about how the playoffs would look. But there's still many obstacles to overcome, right? It's the Fox one that we've talked about, the health and safety protocol that all sports leagues are dealing with. It's just one piece of the puzzle. So the NHLPA cleared this playoffs, but again, you know, we can't really look that far down the line. We still have to figure out, you know, the problematic, the risks that these players have to face.
Daniel, it's fascinating from the standpoint of when we've seen disruptions in sports. You know, we saw a World Series disrupted by an earthquake and things of that nature. We don't normally see a lot of act of God type stuff, as we like to, you know, peruse in contracts. That's usually how they put it. But As much as we want these back, and everybody every day seemingly is floating a story about how to get all of these sports back, just from the little things such as, you know, insurance and all the other stuff and the you know, healthcare that the players get and things of that nature, if just in your mind and from your experience with law, if one person, just one player, you know, ends up with COVID out of all of this, and God forbid, you know, has a serious illness or even eventually passes away, what are the ramifications for any of these leagues if we get back on the ice or get back out on the field, in your mind, if something like that, which, you know, yes, it would be drastic, but certainly there is a percentage chance that something like that could happen. That's the most fascinating thing about this to me, and one of the reasons why you do have some players who have been publicly hesitant, no matter what the sport, to potentially get back out on the field, at least right now, in the world that we're in.
So on a practical level, and it's a very interesting question, and that's, I mean, at a high level, that's why sports are taking so long to come back, because they have to get it right. You know, you can always get hit with the lawsuit, but in order to defend it, you need to show that you took proper safety precautions that were reasonable under the situation. You're never going to have a situation, be it any type of game, where the venue is 100% perfectly safe, right? I remember years ago, at a Columbus Blue Jackets game, a girl got hit in the face with a puck and God forbid, you know, she passed away. But stuff like that happens at stadiums. You just have to make sure you're doing enough. But when it comes to COVID, you know, we've seen test cases in the NHL, right? Colorado had a couple, Ottawa had a couple. The question on a practical level is, if a player tests positive, right, and you're in the middle of a playoffs, what exactly happens, right? Does that player just drop out? Does the entire team drop out? Do they forfeit the round? Those are the questions from an actual gameplay standpoint that nobody really knows about. So that's on the non-legal level, no one really has an answer to that. I'm not sure you can just drop out one guy like, you know, the UFC did, right? Somebody tested positive there. They dropped the guy out, and they dropped out his cornerman. You can isolate in the UFC as an individual sport. On a team level, it's not that easy. And that really brings you to the larger liability question. If you don't drop the whole team out, right, not only do you risk infecting that team, right, you also risk infecting the team they're playing against. And that speaks to the larger liability issues. As much as, you know, the statistics have just bore out, that it's, you know, you as a young, healthy individual in your 20s, your 30s, you're unlikely to be as affected as someone that's older or sometimes with a pre-existing issue. The issue is that they're still, I mean, I saw some statements, you can still win this, you know, proverbial lottery. You still could be that guy, and you could still get hit with a potential lawsuit. So for the NHL, I mean, I would just be mindful of what's happening across the sports landscape. The UFC, which I mentioned, they had their fighters sign COVID-19 waivers to the extent that, you know, they were infected, that the UFC wouldn't be liable. Long-term health care, right? I've seen some experts come out and say that unions should be arguing for their disability benefits to be covered long-term if they get infected with COVID. These are not small obstacles to overcome. And the NHL obviously is not going to, you know, want to have to deal with that, just like the UFC made the players, you know, made their talent sign waivers. So could waivers be a future of the sport for players? I mean, it's happening in the UFC, and our legal standard in our country asks venues, teams, leagues, whoever's hosting an event to do what's reasonable under the circumstances. And that's based off of what, you know, competitors and other comparable situations are doing. And right now, right, the UFC and WWE, those are the only two shows in town. The problem is, guys, those are not unionized sports. So you can expect a battle from the union, right? If the NHL tried to waive a waiver in players' faces, they might fight back and say, well, no, we're not signing a waiver because we want to have as much rights and obligations as we can if potentially someone is infected. So, again, I'm very hopeful that sports are going to come back. I know that we made a lot of positive progress, but this health and safety protocol and this looming liability, it's not something to take lightly.
Smart insight and good information. Really appreciate it, Daniel. Thanks so much.
Always my pleasure, guys.
Great having you on. There's Daniel Lust. You can follow him on Twitter if you're into the sports law side of things, at Sports Law Lust. You are listening to 106.7 The Fan. When we return, if you want to rent a minor league ballpark for the night with your buddies, you can now do that. We'll explain.
Yeah.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
We're supposed to have some golf to watch today, and we could also have NASCAR to watch today. We'll get into those two things next hour. Welcome back, along with Pete Grant. You are listening to 106.7 The Fan. But I want to talk about this because this one hits close to home. I'll just tell you straight out, Pete. I want a redo on my bachelor party. And I thought it was fun. I liked it. All my best buddies were around. We had a heck of a time. We went to Raleigh. We watched the Caps play the Canes. Jay Beagle scored a game-winning goal in the closing seconds, who's my favorite player. Couldn't have been any better than that. We took it to the streets and had a good time for a couple nights. But the Pensacola Blue Wahoos are doing something amazing. So you know this, Pete. I mean, minor league baseball, unlike the big leagues, it's all about butts and seats and revenue generated on game night. There are no TV deals like we just talked about with the NHL teams. So in Major League Baseball, if the Nats don't have any fans in the stands and play an entire season, while it's going to hurt the bottom line, they will be just fine because of television money. That doesn't exist in the minors. So you make your money and you stay afloat and your business operates based on having people come to games. And the way you get them to come to games is ideally you've got a really good prospect or they just kind of love the romanticism of minor league baseball. Where you do things that minor league teams do and you see all over the country night in and night out, like having themed evenings and having old stars of TV shows or old wrestlers or different people at the ballpark to sign autographs. Well, because teams cannot have anyone come to their ballpark right now because there are no games, they're in big trouble. And some of these teams won't exist a year from now. Financially, they just can't make it work. So they're getting really creative to try to make some cash. Nobody more creative, though, than in Pensacola, where the Blue Wahoos have listed their ballpark on Airbnb for rentals. How about this? The AA affiliate of the Minnesota Twins, the Blue Wahoos Stadium in Pensacola, Florida, is now on Airbnb for $1,500 per night. Add some fees in there, depending on some other things that you might want to do while you're there. You and up to 10 guests are granted access to the stadium, which includes use of the team's clubhouse, batting cage, and field, along with a batting practice setup. So, Pete, you can come play sandlot ball all night long, take BP, have everyone positioned across the field where they want to play in the positions they'd like. They've got a room that they put together with bunk beds and a couple of queen beds 10 people can sleep in. They can cater food in the clubhouse, just like the spread when the players come off the field. You have the run of the entire ballpark for the night. There's one employee that's there to answer any of your questions and handle security. Really, really amazing.
And think about it, Grant. Down in that, you know, you're going down to Florida and, you know, especially this time of the year, $1,500 a night for all that, that's not too bad. And you spread that out over, you know, your best buddies and stuff like that.
10 people are doing it.
It's very affordable.
$150 a pop.
Right. Becomes very affordable for everybody. I can't wait to see, and I hope people document if they do take them up on this. I hope people do document their night at the Wahoos Ball Club. And you're right. I mean, minor league baseball now is all marketing. It's all marketing. It's all how can we get people there to watch the fireworks on a Friday night or Saturday night. We've all sat at Bowie on a Monday or Tuesday during the week when there's not as many people there because we like to watch baseball. We want to see some young prospects. For minor league baseball in many markets, it is about Friday, Saturday, Sunday, maximizing all the seats there, and that's when most of your promotions take place. I know the guys down in Southern Maryland with the Blue Crabs do a lot of great promotions down there. It's all about getting people there, and by far, Grant, this is one of the best I have ever seen from a minor league team where you can kind of feel like at least for one day, Grant, or one night, that you're the star of the show.
Yeah, I reached out last night to the team owner, the team president, I should say, Jonathan Griffith, who I interviewed this morning on my SiriusXM National baseball show, Minors and Majors. I just think it's such a great idea. And he's a local guy. He actually worked with the Potomac Nationals before going to Pensacola. He's going to be on Grant and Danny this week. We're going to talk about this. But it's just a tremendous idea. And he reminded me in that interview, this is the same organization that was the first minor league team to do the takeout food. Because remember, you know, you can't go and you can't get ballpark food. So I don't know if people remember, but they have a bunch of like famous, I won't call them dishes, but foods at their ball games because they're on the water. So the seafood driven or what have you. But they started doing takeout like a restaurant. And people, there was a line pulling up to get ballpark fare. They wanted their peanuts and their beers and their popcorn and their chicken tenders and all that stuff they'd be eating at the ball games. So they started doing that. They're doing disc golf at this point. Like once a month in the outfield. And the course is designed by, at least partially, by Bubba Watson, who's one of the minority owners, I think, of the organization, the PGA golfer. They're doing a fireworks night with movies at the end of the month with social distancing now. People can come out and sit on blankets and watch a big movie in the outfield. So I just give them a lot of credit. You know, we've got minor league teams in the area. Fredericksburg was just about to get off the ground, the new A-plus affiliate of the Nationals in the Carolina League. Obviously, Bowie and Frederick. And you just want the best for these teams because minor league baseball has always been – it just meant a lot to me. I grew up going to those games with my family. It means a lot to those communities, you know, economically and otherwise. You'd hate to see anything happen. So you're hoping they're getting just as creative. But this is such an amazing idea. My buddy texted me, and he's like, dude, we have to do this. And I'm like, yeah, I agree, and kind of left it at that. And he texted me again today. He's like, I'm serious. We have to do this. So I don't know. I mean, during COVID times, I'm not sure that I'm going to be going to Florida. But if things if things clear up a little bit and things get a little healthier, that would be a hell of a vacation to go down there for a couple of nights with a bunch of my buddies and do like a dude's weekend and just go hang out at the ballpark for the night. I mean, I'm serious. That would be a blast. I would love to do that.
It's and Grant, let's face it, I mean, we're probably not going to have any minor league baseball this
correct
season. So
correct.
This is a way for them to at least try to bring in some revenue to the coffers. And I thought the move with food is tremendous because what it, you know as well as I do, there, it doesn't matter where that hot dog comes from. We don't usually see the advertisement of where the hot dog is, except for like in the Orioles growing up, we knew it was an SK hot dog, you know, going to Memorial Stadium or Oriole Park at Camden Yards. But the food at a ballpark, no matter how expensive, always tastes better in our mind because it's coming from the ballpark. There's something even more tasty about it. So having drive-up service for ballpark food, again, it's another genius idea to keep yourself in the public eye, to keep your fans engaged, and as people in the Pensacola market will remember, you know, this type of stuff, especially if anybody takes them up on it, you're probably going to have, you know, fans for life now, and people are going to consistently maybe come back to some Pensacola Wahoos games who might not necessarily have sampled them before taking an opportunity like this as it's presented.
The perfect bachelor party, I mean, as far as I'm concerned. Now, he told me when I did the interview with him, I taped last night, he said, you know, we're also suggesting, you know, romantic anniversary deals where you get your dinner in the outfield and we can cater it real nice. And that makes some sense if you're a baseball-loving couple as well, you know, the night in a ballpark. But I think the bachelor party is probably the go-to. And I'm trying to remember the exact number he told me, but I think what he said was they've already had 30 to 40 bookings. You know, and this all started about 24 hours ago now, yesterday
wow
afternoon.
How great
and
is
he,
that?
I mean, so they're killing it. He said, yeah, we've got about 30 to 40 bookings of overnights for people already ready to do this. So good for them. Just a great idea and really, really neat. I wish it was closer, I'll tell you that. And if somebody wants to do it a little bit closer, I'll definitely give you a buzz and hopefully get into the ballpark for
well, if you're the new Nats group down at Fredericksburg, why wouldn't you do something like this to introduce people to your new ballpark once
kick
it's finished?
Kick off the ballpark, no doubt. And one of the things he said is, you know, for upcharges, like we'll do a fireworks show for you. He's like, we've had, you know, people for years say we have one of the best fireworks shows in the area. He's like, we'll do one just for you and your friends. You're sitting there in the outfield watching the fireworks. They'll cater as nice a meal as you'd like and all kinds of different things that they can do with a bit of an uptick. So pretty impressive. He said the only thing you can't do that you could do in a normal house is cook. So, but there's no need for that. We'll get your food. Don't worry about it. He's Pete. I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan. Next, what sports are on the docket today? We'll go through the slate of what you might be able to watch if you're at the house enjoying the air conditioning on TV. Plus, we got to get into the Nats. A year ago on May 24th, 19-31, and go back through their renaissance all the way to the World Series. You're listening to The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.